Dude, yeah, we looking. Hare Krishna, devotees. Today is June 21st, and we heard Prabhupada's quote. Prabhupada is saying, a spiritual master is always liberated. In any condition of his life, he should not be mistaken as ordinary human being. This position of the spiritual master is achieved by the three processes. Sadhana Siddha, one who is liberated by executing the regulatory principles of devotional service. Kripa Siddha, one who is liberated by the mercy of Krishna and or his devotee. Nitya Siddha, one who is never forgetful of Krishna throughout his whole life. These are the three features of the perfection of life. Letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tamal Krishna, June 21st, 1970. Thank you very much for the deities, devotees, all the devotees. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, 9th chapter, in verse number 38 and 39. So, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All the Sri Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time in association this morning. So, please now take over the call. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavats, and please accept my sincere apologies for logging in late. I got stuck in a bit of traffic. So we'll start with our invocation prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are going to read text number 38 and 39 of Adi Kanda, chapter 9. Madhupuri Rachiya Brahmena Sishurange Keha Hayamali Keha Mala Pare Range. The children arranged a city of Madhura and then wandered through its streets. Someone played the role of a gardener and someone accepted a flower garland from him. Kubjaveshakari Gandapare Arastane Hanukagadiya Bhange Kariya Garjane. Someone dressed as Kubja and sandalwood pulp was accepted from her. The large bow was made and they all shouted in joy when it was broken. Madhupuri, Mathura, the purport. Madhupuri, Mathura was previously the residence of demon Madhu. His son, Lavanasura, was killed by Shatrughna in Treta Yuga. The words Kubjara Stane Gandapare, accepting sandalwood pulp from Kubja, are explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 42nd chapter, text 34 as follows. Kubja said, "Who else but you to deserve my sandalwood pulp?" Saying this, Kubja smeared generous amounts of sandalwood pulp on both Krishna and Balaram. The meaning of the second line of this verse is found in the following words from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.42.17.18. Easily lifting the bow with his left hand, Lord Krishna strung it in a fraction of a second as the king's guards looked on. He then powerfully pulled the string and snapped the bow in half, just as an excited elephant might break a stalk of sugar cane. The sound of the bows breaking filled the earth and sky in all directions. Upon hearing it, Kamsa was struck with terror. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padayam Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedantam Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanyam Prabhu Nityanandam Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Visha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajnair Sankirtanair Prayai Yajantihi Sumedasaha. So when Lord Chaitanya was going to appear, this was pre-told, and Srimad Bhagavatam defines how this all will happen. And Krishna generally is not alone. One time one artist devotee drew a picture of Krishna alone and shown it to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, "Where did you get this idea from? Krishna is never alone. He is always surrendered to his devotees. And especially when Krishna is going to appear, he would make sure that all his parshadas, his dearest devotees, would also participate in the project. When Krishna himself came, he made all the demigods appear ahead of him to prepare the ground. He brought his associates from the spiritual world and they played different roles so that Krishna could enjoy his earthly pastimes. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to appear, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Sango Pangastra Parshadam. He will come along with his Parshadas, along with his associates. And Vrindavan Das Thakura is describing about none other than Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram. So, the childhood activities that Nityananda Prabhu along with his friends, that's the context that we are in for those who have missed the earlier sessions. So, while so many things are happening in Navadvip, Jagannath Mishra just left his body and scenario is, you know, building up there. Vrindavan Das Thakura is bringing us to Eka Chakra Dham and trying to introduce us to Nitai. As we always know, Balaram is servant personality of Godhead, servitor personality of Godhead. He has always functioned in every Leela as a servant, whether it was Lakshmana, whether it was Nityananda Prabhu, whether it was himself as Balaram. He looked after Krishna perfectly, like a perfect servant. in some case as junior to him, in case of Lakshmana. In case of Balaram, it was senior to him. And in case of Nityananda Prabhu, he played a very interesting role of supporting, serving at the same time, sometime debating. So he had a equality as well as servitor mood as Nithai. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's union happened much later. Like we say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is a secret incarnation, especially during his manifested time when he was performing his Leela. Hardly few knew him as the Supreme Lord. And Nityananda Prabhu's scenario was also like that. Nityananda Prabhu did not even reveal his mission, did not even reveal his position, did not even reveal anything till he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though he is Supreme Personality of Godhead too, he did not even commence the missionary activities for which they both have come. As the prayer goes, Ajanu lambita bhujau kanaka vadato sankirtanai kapitarau kamalayatakshau Vishwambarau Dvijabarau Yugadharma Palau Vande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavatarau. Vrindavan Das Thakura is explaining. They are here for a specific agenda. What was the agenda? The agenda is about Sankirtanai Kapitaro. They are the pioneers, they are the beginners of the Sankirtan mission, which means both of them together. So typically, when a mission has to get started, somebody initiates and everybody joins. Here, Vrindavan Das Thakura is glorifying both Chaitanya as well as Nityananda as the pioneers, forefathers, or beginners of the Sankirtan mission. So Nityananda Prabhu kept a very low profile, both as a child as well as during his journey with the sannyasi. All over India, when he was doing his Tirtha Yatra, all while he was internally meditating, praying, waiting for the opportune moment to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan mission, and never overstepped or never did things which otherwise he could have done. By this gesture, he very strongly established the principle of the servitor personality of Godhead. So, during this childhood days, even though he kept a low profile, he did communicate, he did reveal few symptoms of a special child, few symptoms of exhibiting that he is not from this world. Because these children were 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years younger, very small children, But when Nityananda Prabhu, as a child, used to participate in this enactment of different dramas, because these children's one or one of the main entertainment is to perform role play. This they used to perform from Ramayana, from Mahabharata, and different scenes they used to enact. And the main director for this was Nitai. It is described that when Nitai directs the children for performing the drama, the kind of details that he reveals, the kind of information that he reveals, and the role that he would enact was so perfect, as if he has witnessed them, as if he has been part of that scene. Because for such a young kid, he would not have got chance to read all of them, because it's just 5 years or 7 years, whatever that young age. So everybody used to be surprised, those of them who knew about the literature, how come this boy, at a very small age, could know all these details? Sometimes when the scene was being enacted, Nityananda Prabhu in one situation was performing the scene of him being Lakshmana. Probably you'll all see that. I do not want to steal away from your future speaker, but just to touch base, that he used to perform the scene where he used to be, he was playing the role of Lakshmana, who got killed by, or who got hurt by Indrajit. And before the scene was discussed, Lakshmana mentioned to the different players that I'll be fainted or I'll be dead. So somebody who has to play the role of Hanuman or the medicine, the doctor, they need to bring the necessary medicine and wake them up. So what happened was, Nitai, you know, fainted as part of the role, and he would never wake up. The person who was to perform the role of bringing the medicine, he forgot his scene. So he got so much into the character that nobody could wake him up. He was really motionless, breathless. So the play became a panic scene where everybody went around to tell that Nitai, you know, is not moving. Something is wrong. So even the adults came, everybody came, he wouldn't move. So suddenly when the scene was, you know, getting really intense, that person, that boy who was to play the role to bring the medicine, suddenly remembered that it was his duty to do that. So he somehow, you know, remembered that, and he performed and came and gave the medicine to Nitai, who was playing the role of Lakshmana. He woke up. So the point I'm trying to, you know, share here is, Nityananda Prabhu, even though he kept a very low profile, even though he was waiting for an approval and an empowerment and a permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to commence the Sankirtan mission, till that point in time, he was keeping himself very low and took that time to enjoy his Leela as a mendicant, as an avadhut, traveled all over the country to different kshetras. So this context in itself, we can churn out few lessons. I was trying to reflect on these two shlokas and was remembering the Krishna Leela pastime. Because the scene that we read today is a pastime from Krishna's entering Mathura and meeting Kubja and also breaking off the Dhanur. In Srimad Bhagavatam as well as Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada has given a very wonderful narration. So I will split this next half an hour, this context into three parts. Part one is about some lesson that we should learn from this context where Nityananda Prabhu was playing the role, or Nityananda Prabhu along with children. So from that context, I want to drive home or take home lesson for us as congregation, especially Grihasthas. So the lesson here is that in the child upbringing, it is extremely important to understand a basic psychology of child's evolution of thoughts and behavior. The first 5 years up till age 5, generally children learn by imitation. I'm talking about in general context. From 6 to 10, children learn by the way of following instructions. In general, there may be exceptions. The age band may vary, depends upon cultural, social, economic, upbringing. But in general, based on my little experience. And from 11 through 15, the children try to learn by exploration. They have their own. If you see children at the age of 11, 12, they want to make their own choices. They want to experiment. They want to kind of model themselves or try to look up to a specific role model. And 15 and above depends upon how up till 15 the child has been trained. The learning and experiences, some of them learn by experiential knowledge, some of them learn by, comparative or copying or, trying to replicate whom they, imagine. So they have several patterns of mindset. It is unpredictable because nowadays, because of social media and other developments, the children, they have several private lives in which they try to express their emotions or try to get into different shoes. So let us limit ourselves to the current context. So the young age is a very crucial age. And Vedic system has time and again demonstrated how the children's upbringing is supposed to be. Krishna Leela, Chaitanya Leela, if you see Prahlad Maharaj within the womb, the conversation, Dhruva Maharaj, context. We have heard from several contexts Krishna's childhood pastimes. So even when Krishna was a small baby, he used to suddenly, perform or behave like Ramachandra Prabhu. Suddenly Yashoda Maya used to see few patterns of Krishna and Balaram's behavior that way. They used to play some role plays. So, but current context, the younger generation today, especially devotee children, they are Prabhupada's you know, referencing them to as Vaikuntha children, they need to be definitely have that upbringing. For sure, devotees around the world, different congregation leaders are facilitating for this. But in that, there is one small caveat that I want to add, is that we are not supposed to alone only train them on devotional skills. We should also train them on devotional values. And these devotional values are supposed to be inculcated by role modeling for them. So my first lesson to take home here is Nityananda Prabhu is, of course, enjoying his childhood days, enjoying his childhood pastimes. But what is there for me to learn is that can we give that benefit, privilege to all the younger children, devotee children, devotees born in to a devotee parents? Can we give them such a privilege of them having a very nice devotional skill come devotional values based upbringing, so that at the time of them becoming an adult, they will be able to make an informed and well thought decision? One of our proper disciples, His Holiness Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj, he always makes this statement that many a times devotee parents are very happy that their children are able to recite shlokas, tell stories, and are able to worship the Lord when they are child, which is very good. But it's extremely important to watch very closely when they cross 15. So he says that if a child is able to practice Krishna consciousness even after 15, that's when the success of a parenting is complete. Even though what they have done till that point in time is never lost, but it is extremely important that we shape up the children's upbringing in such a capacity that even after 15, they are able to practice very decent, principled, and Krishna-centric life. Career aspirations are never questioned, but career aspirations compromising devotional values, forgetting devotional skills, not giving importance to Krishna-centric life is definitely alarming. All those 15 years of foundation will have to be groomed in such a capacity. So, several devotees have come up with several models, but I would like to propose three aspects that always need to be well thought to be done. Number one is role modeling a child, role modeling for a child. So a parent and the well-wishers of the family needs to clearly role model for the child. In this case, Nityananda Prabhu is our role model, so he did not require anybody else to come and give him instruction. But Nityananda Prabhu actually modeled for all the other friends. But in our case, in our community, in our society, in our generation, it is extremely important for the adults, for the parents, to properly model for the child. So they have to show by their example. This is one aspect. Many a times we overlook them. We outsource the devotional skill and values training to somebody else. We are very satisfied by knowing that my child is attending 2 hours of, you know, Krishna consciousness program per week and various such things. They are definitely good, but not enough. It is just not just that a flavor of devotion is needed. It is an integrated and very organic way of learning Krishna consciousness is needed, for which role modeling is required. And parents, whatever they expect of their child, they need to live up to that, take extra austerity, and definitely need to demonstrate in action. And that is how in Vedic civilization, values, knowledge, values, educations were imparted. I have a very clear memory of how our generation and our previous generation, previous meaning my elder brothers and at least whatever little 5-10 years before me, there in the family, especially those who are from a cultured orthodox family, they had a very set principles of how they used to conduct themselves in the house. In my upbringing, in my family's upbringing, there were never a specific time in which the values were, you know, imparted. It was very organic. Everybody used to live by that, at least more or less. And we saw that. And we grew. And it became very natural. Having said that, I'm not trying to, give me a clean sheet. I have my own anarthas to sort out. But in the foundation was very nicely established. The second thing that we need to look after is about not to compare the child with another child in the upbringing, the growth, because each child come up with their own baggage, both good and bad. So if a child is compared in the upbringing, it is definitely going to be detrimental. And sometimes it has been counterproductive than being productive. So in the process of giving devotional skills and devotional values, so let's handle each child according to his natural inclination and inspire them from that point in time, rather than stuffing things up and gagging them up and trying to compare them with other. It is not a competition. Every child grow according to their own inspiration, own quotient that they have been blessed with. The third and most important aspect of this values-based upbringing is that it is not necessarily, because many a times we have seen where we try to impart the bad thing in a bad manner. So where that which is not Krishna conscious, how they need to be introduced and how they need to be presented, it needs to be done in a very very intelligent manner, in the sense that sinful activities, sinful propensities, sinful people, bad activities. So these are all things, they are sometimes introduced in a very unorganic manner. Either they instill fear in them and make them stay away, or they try to be, you know, taught in a very amateurish manner. In my little experience, it has to be taught in a very matured manner for the child to stay very well informed and healthy. So the third aspect in that child upbringing that I want to say is, you know, teach them to hate or dislike the sins, but not the sinner. The reason is, the negative impact will eventually come when the child is going to go out to socialize with everyone. So at that time, they need to be able to be respectful and look up to others who are not Krishna conscious and able to gel with them. Otherwise, either the party will be bullied and the result is not going to be very favorable. The child will always have either over functioning in his devotional duties, or he will be really into a silos. He will work in some sort of a depression. So my first lesson from this current context, even though it is not directly, you know, mentioned here, but I was reflecting about the childhood pastimes and why these childhood pastimes. These childhood pastimes are not just and inspiration alone. They have something to communicate. Children, Krishna, Chaitanya, these all personalities, they have played. So even Nityananda Prabhu played the role of all these personalities, and we have always been, even in our Vedic era, childhood stories are only stories of Rama, Krishna, and various other personalities. So from that perspective, as a lesson, let's give that environment, that arrangement for our children to grow so that they are able to appreciate the Krishna consciousness dynamics. The second lesson from this current context is about the Lord's merciful nature. The merciful nature of Nityananda Prabhu is, you know, going to be the agenda every class. The Lord gives His mercy by His action, by His instruction, by His, you know, by His lifestyle. Both Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they have performed their Leela in the manifested Leela, they made sure that the mercy is profusely distributed, profusely given to everyone, even without seeing any of their consideration. Jati dana vidya bala natore apeksha. So they don't look at any of these criteria, and this mercy was profusely, freely given. Even though it is too early to, you know, jump onto this, the context where they are currently performing this Madhura Leela, so what happened was Krishna and Balaram, along with the cowherd boys, they entered Mathura, and the entire Mathura, because of Krishna's arrival, was very well decorated, so beautifully decorated. The reason was, up till that point in time, Mathura Vasis had only heard about Krishna and Balaram's beauty, Krishna and Balaram's activities, Krishna and Balaram's, you know, achievements. So when they are seeing Krishna for the very first time, everybody were curious, you know, is it really true? You know, they were all had so much of emotions. So there's a long story there. There's one full chapter where how Krishna's arrival in Mathura was wonderfully described by Sukadeva Goswami Pad. And here in this current sloka that we read, we fast forward and reach up till Kubja. Prabhupada writes that Kubja, the sandalwood paste that she has been regularly taking it for Kamsa, when Krishna mocked at her, joked at her, she immediately understood, she immediately communicated, saying that this wonderful sandalwood paste is only meant for you two boys, no one else. After seeing you, no one else will be eligible to be the recipient of this. And Prabhupada writes there in Krishna book that Kubja, with utmost devotion, with utmost love, with utmost care, she had applied the entire sandalwood paste on Krishna and Balarama's you know, face and as well as body. And it is described that they were looking so beautiful, and Krishna got immediately pleased. So as a matter of reciprocation, Krishna actually held his one of Kubja's toe. I mean, he, using his feet, he pressed Kubja's toe, and with his two fingers, he held Kubja's chin, and he kind of lifted her, by which the hunchback lady suddenly got transformed to a very beautiful, gopi. And as soon as she became gopi, she naturally got attracted to the youth boy, Krishna. And she wanted to, you know, lust over him, and she wanted to invite him to her house. And she even expressed publicly in front of all the other cowherd boys and Balaram that, my dear Krishna, you are so beautiful. And what else I would ask for than you visiting my house and giving your private time with me? So Krishna got a bit embarrassed, and Krishna responded saying that for all of us young boys, what else we want but for spending time with you, you beautiful girls? But we are here for a mission. Let's finish our mission and come and see you. So Prabhupada writes there that Krishna is attracted not by anybody's wealth. I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada says. Krishna is attracted by the transcendental love and affection a devotee is having towards him rather than any other opulences or any other power, position, name, fame, etc. So my second lesson in this current context is Nityananda Prabhu, by performing such leela, he is bestowing, imparting, giving away huge amount of mercy for all the inhabitants of Ekachakradham, then for all those readers who are going to enjoy or who are currently enjoying his childhood pastimes now, as well as to all the generations to come who may show interest in being part of Sankirtan mission. Nityananda Prabhu is available with his open arms to welcome them and try to give profusely his mercy. So, several acharyas have sung several songs about Nityananda Prabhu, but the main aspect of Nityananda Prabhu is his beneficent, merciful nature. In fact, those who have received his mercy can never go unattended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. 2 days before we had Panihati Chittadahi festival, you would have heard, or you all would have heard, how Nityananda Prabhu bestowed his special mercy upon Raghunath Das Goswami. So my second lesson in this context is the Lord performed his childhood pastimes. Nityananda Prabhu performed his childhood pastimes and engaged everyone in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord and prepared them and definitely bestowed his special mercy upon them. The third lesson, or the third reflection in this current context, which we may have to extrapolate, or which I try to draw out of this current context, is it is imperative that we as students of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaudiya Parampara, following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and his servants, it is our duty to reach out, because Nityananda Prabhu is merciful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful. Holy name is merciful. But we as agents, we as servants, our duty is to reach this out to everybody. If we do not reach this mercy to everyone else, then we being the recipient of such a mercy, we will not do justice to that. We will be called misers. Maybe for yesterday, we had in our temple is Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj visiting. He gave a very interesting class. In that he mentioned that how Srila Prabhupada went to Paschatya Desha, Harine. He had definitely delivered. And how he did that? He did that by giving them the phone number to contact when anyone is in trouble. Very nicely explained that Srila Prabhupada understood the mindset of all the people at that time in Bowery or in New York in general the Paschatya Desha. Of course, India was no exemption, because in India, he couldn't even attract a few people because they were having their own quotients. So looking at all of them, the easiest process, the munificent process, the powerful process, he really presented them. So Maharaj was explaining that Prabhupada gave the telephone number of Krishna. He said, you ring this telephone number, you will be able to speak to Krishna. And when you are able to speak to Krishna, you will not have any more worries or any more confusions in your life. That is why, he says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So Maharaj is mentioning the telephone number of Krishna is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he mentioned that instead of we reaching out to anyone at the time of challenge, we reach out to Krishna since you have the telephone number. And if you dial with, as just mentioned before, with love and devotion, it is impossible for Krishna to control himself. In the fourth canto, fourth chapter, shloka number 13, the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that every practitioner or the recipient, the experiences in Krishna consciousness is proportionate to the recipient's consciousness. In what consciousness I am in, I will be able to, you know, appreciate. And it is important for us to tune up our consciousness. So, as a third reflection, I want to mention two things. Number one, as an agent, as a duty, as a recipient of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda's mercy, we will have to go out and give Krishna prem, Krishna's telephone number, Krishna's pastimes, and everything connected with Krishna, and attract more and more people. And at the same time, we are simultaneously a student too. So we need to keep our consciousness in such a capacity that we are able to receive, we are able to appreciate, we are able to enjoy this Krishna Katha. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in the context where this Dhanur Yajna was going on. Because in Dhanur Yajna, what happened was that, as we just read now, Krishna broke the bow as if the sugarcane stalk was just broken into half. And in fact, when Krishna and Balaram were approaching the arena, all the protectors, guards, they were shooing away Krishna and Balaram, thinking that they are all just small boys. But finally, when they saw this Dhanur Yajna, that this Dhanur was broken, they couldn't comprehend. And they finally became angry to attack them. And finally, Krishna and Balaram, you know, counter-attacked them and even attacked more soldiers that Kamsa sent further. So at the end, the entire audience in the auditorium or the ground, so they were all witnessing this wonderful feat of Krishna. So when Krishna came the next day to kill Kamsa, there were several emotions that were running through everyone's mind. Sukadeva Goswami Pad is explaining everyone's mind. Everyone saw Krishna according to their individual understanding. So some of them saw Krishna as death personified, especially Kamsa. And Kamsa's friends saw Krishna as a Kshatriya who came to fight and chastise them. The Vrindavan Vasis, they saw Krishna as their own kinsman. And some of the friends of Krishna, they were, you know, really shouting and making noise because they're winning. Some of the girls, they were lusting over Krishna. Some of the elderly men, they were praying for Krishna. Some of the gentlemen, they were getting attracted to Krishna's natural beauty. So there were several running emotions there. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam context, he's writing that depends upon what consciousness we would like to receive Krishna, Krishna would reciprocate back. So when we are dealing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu's Leela, we need to tune up our consciousness, both in terms of being an agent to carry Krishna's message and give it to everyone, as well as a student, so that we can properly receive them, properly inherit them, properly assimilate them, so that we can present it back to all the needy people and eventually win them to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gaura and Nityananda. So with these three lessons, I would like to stop here and just glorify Nityananda Prabhu. Is our greatest privilege, and it is also a opportunity to get a placeholder or get a assurance that we will definitely get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, because whoever takes the name of Nitai, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased with them. And whoever chants the name of Gauranga, Nityananda Prabhu is pleased with them. And whoever chants the name of Gaura and Nityananda, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that they are the most fortunate souls. And please chant, Bolo Haribol, Bolo Haribol, Bolo Gaura Nityananda. And that way, we will make this human form of life a perfect and a chance for us to exit this cycle of birth and death. So if there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any question?
Dear devotees, if anybody has any question, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. So, Prabhu, you are saying not to compare with the other kids. Every kid is having their own path. But at the same time, how do we understand I'm comparing or I'm trying to encourage her to go in Krishna consciousness? Because, see, we cannot just leave the child, right? Okay, the other child is doing and my child is not doing. Okay, she has her own path, I leave her. But at the same time, I have to make her understand that, look, other children also are doing of your age. You know, we should get encouraged and you should try to do a little more. Is that wrong way of explaining the child? How do I draw a line between encouraging her and showing her other children as example and not comparing? I don't know if I put my question in the right way.
I understand. Basically, what I was trying to mention at that point in time was that every child comes with their own quotient. So we need to keep a very close watch. In fact, some of us are working on few projects with respect to I know at least few devotees are doing the similar thing. How to identify early traits? They say a child, like how Nityananda Prabhu exhibited in his very young age some traits which is unusual to be a normal child. He is definitely a special, unique, or maybe some special ones would even know that earlier days that Nityananda Prabhu is an avatar or a supreme lord. So a child, from the time of birth, after a point in time, based on several reflex actions or several situations, exhibit certain traits. And these traits are supposed to be very closely monitored. And the bad ones need to be addressed and the good ones need to be encouraged. And this needs a very careful observation as well as giving attention to the details. And 9 out of 10 instances, we think that we can encourage the child by, you know, comparing it with the other child. So comparison has got many explanations. When I meant comparison, I meant in the many a times we say that, look at that guy, he has gone ahead of you, even though he's of your same age. Look at that guy, he has, you know, outperformed you. Look at this girl, she has performed very wonderfully, even though you both are the same age, even though you are all of, you know, same class, even though you are the same set of teachers. That kind of comparison is detrimental. We can always role model. We can always, you know, try to encourage using principles, using referring to certain personalities from the Vedic literature, or even the living ones. That's not a problem. But we need to carefully articulate. If you articulate it in a slightly wrong sense, then it may have a counterproductive. I give this example all the time. We have a congregation devotee in our community who takes tuition classes. In India, it's very, you know, very famous. And to the parents, they outsource the responsibility of teaching the children to some tuition teacher. So the children as young as, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10, they all, you know, go to tuition classes. So one of the parents was happily expressing to the devotee teacher who is taking the tuition classes, saying that our son is very nice. From a very young age, he has developed interest in seeing Mahabharata serial. So there's a, the TV, there's a Mahabharata serial that used to regularly come. So the teacher was asking, oh, really, that's nice. So then the devotee asked that boy, so what do you like so much in Mahabharata? I heard that you are very much interested in Mahabharata. Your parents were happy about it. So what do you actually like in Mahabharata? So the boy, very natural, innocent, right? Said, Mataji, I like the character of Shakuni very nicely. So what happens is that from the parents' viewpoint, they are just thinking, my child is watching Mahabharata. But if there is no proper articulation, if there is no proper dialogue, if there is no proper explanation, there is no proper encouragement or clarification, the child might start to like something which is not supposed to be, attracted to. Getting attracted to Shakuni as a character is, not very encouraging. So what I meant is, in the upbringing of the child, we should not let loose, neither we should hold up tight, but we need to kind of guide them, path them. So comparison to snub them off or to humiliate them off or even to say that you have not performed well. So that assessment, that is why in some education system, the assessment methodology has got completely changed. Some of the old school methodologies, ranking them in the order of, who is the first rank, second rank. But there are some schools that I know where they do the ranking based on the child's individual performance rather than comparative performance. So they kind of put them in some band. They have very different methodology that they will communicate to the child at the same time, not to try to say what you're doing is right or wrong. You have to say it is right or wrong, but you're not in a manner to humiliate them in comparison to others. I have seen a lot of them in many of my visits to the school. I'm sure some of you are very well educated, or most of you are all well aware about this. You have a very different system of upbringing in your own place. But what I was trying to say is, as general principles, it is encouragement, role modeling, referencing, explaining. It's all okay. Just to compare to say that you should catch up to them, you should live up to them. Keeping the other child as the benchmark, that is something will be definitely detrimental. Did I clarify this point?
Yes, Prabhuji, got it. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thanks for the lovely class. I'm just wondering, what was the child's motivation behind liking Shakuni? I don't know. They tend to think differently, so it'll be interesting to know.
Basically, there's like a very, it's a crooked character kind of. I do not know. Maybe I didn't interact with the child. Why the child would have got attracted to a specific personality, I do not know. But nowadays, if you analyze the children, because they do have some inherent quotients, some, violent quotient, some crooked quotient, some, we are coming with mixed modes. So if the wrong modes are motivated or, facilitated, and the right modes are not properly facilitated, it is like watering the weed and not watering the sapling. So we might need to kind of, participate in that upbringing and try to eliminate that weed part and water the seed part. So when we come in, we do not know what portion is how much within us, because we have our own conditioning. So that is why this initial growing years, such uprooting the weeds and watering the seeds to be very carefully done, not overdo it, not underdo it. So specific to this case, why the child would get attracted, I wouldn't know. But in general, we all carry our own portion, some violence within us, some lust, some greed, several things are within us. So that needs to be properly, governed. Make sense?
I agree, Prabhu. I'm just wondering, if we had asked the child, maybe he has a totally different perspective we may not be aware of too. Sometimes it does happen.
I'm not trying to use this example to snub this child or that is wrong, but I just to, you know, pinpoint that if you, it's not just let, don't conclude that just by watching Mahabharata, the child is doing correct, or by not watching Mahabharata, the child is wrong. So it is not supposed to be, you know, pre-concluded. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, Prabhuji. There was one discussion on the same lines too, having the pictures of, Krishna killing demons in the temple. Like some devotees had raised questions, what impact it will have on kids, who are, especially Westerners, who see it for the first time, it may not create a great impression, or, they may think, why is God violent, or, something like that. So, that's something I never got an answer to. Also, would love to know your thoughts.
My family had a similar episode. My sister's son, I remember very clearly when he was 4 or 5 years, whenever my father was around, he would never require to watch a television or any other, distraction. Because my father used to very personally play with him. And at the time of play, I used to witness, sometimes I, got to see him. He used to perform demon character as well as God character, and in voice modulation, in presentation, in explanation, in facial expression, in dress, they communicate a lot of things. So it is just not a picture you see and leave it alone. It is a duty of the educator or the teacher or a parent or anyone to articulate. The same picture can be explained and so many wonderful things can be imparted. The picture may have, quote-unquote, certain scary things. But if the child is properly explained, the child will be able to see the right part of it. And rather than getting afraid, they can get happy. I'm sure most of our devoted children, they have that experience. Just that the modern education somehow believes that the child should have a mobile app to learn. I'm sorry, I'm against all of them. So, so it's a debatable scenario, and different people come up with different perspective. But the bottom line is, Prabhupada very clearly says, as you look after your deities, as you look after the Supreme Lord in the temple with the proper Pancharatrika procedure, a child needs to be looked after. So a child in the house is another deity in the house. So look after them, take care of them. If at all you want to give them that Vaikuntha path, because they are coming from Vaikuntha for getting a devotee parents. The child development as well as parenting is a separate topic with different perspectives. Different people have different opinions, and no one single opinion is pointed as perfect opinion. But for sure, there are some basics that can never be compromised. So those are the 3 points that I mentioned in my class. Those 3 basics are invariably, for sure, to be respected, because they help in child's development. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Actually, this was brought out by an educator who was visiting, and what would be the first, the impact on, basically from an outreach point of view for some Westerners who just visit the temple and happen to look at the paintings. Of course, like you said, devotee kids have more because they are kind of ingrained and grow up with this. So, I mean, they don't look at it, in a different way, but for first time Western kids or something, that's where they were coming from. So,
I guess even adults might need education, right? What to speak of child. Even adults don't understand what this picture is all about. So many times I've seen in ISKCON temples, they have these plates as well as they make some small note there. But sometimes people don't get to read them. So education is important. Any other questions or comments or reflections? Okay, it's a pretty exciting to know that you're all regularly doing this Chaitanya Bhagavata. It's a very wonderful work of Vrindavan Das Thakur, and thank you so much for engaging me in this. personal question, probably we can end the session.
Hare Krishna Ji Ram Girdhari Prabhu Koti Koti Danvat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai Gopinath Ki Jai. Prabhuji, I have a small question. That up to 10th grade or 11th grade kids are following us so nicely. They just watch us and follow us whatever we are doing in a temple or in a dham, or they just watch the Maharaj and senior Brahmachari. But after that, Prabhuji, maybe the hormones change, or I don't know, that I am not sincere, then they become a little gap for 2-3 years, and then again difficulties came in a job, and suddenly see the, because of this COVID, they see lots of people are dying, so because of IT stressful job, they again started to come temple in a Mangala Arati, Ekadasi, Jagannath, Shishi Balram, Subhadra Rani dressing, God Dhinitai dressing. But why that gap is came? Because we are not sincere, Prabhuji. Hari Hari Kauranga Danvat Pranam. Now they are at least following 5-6 round and doing seva and coming every Sunday temple. But in the middle 4-5 years, they stop, like once in a month only came in a temple. So we are not sincere. That's why they become little down, Prabhuji.
I wouldn't say that. It is not one singular reason why somebody not practice Krishna consciousness. While it is pretty much centered around the children, this is the case of everyone, where people, when they have a different set of association, they tend to get carried away. So after 10th grade, or when they are into an adolescent age, one, age is the factor. Second is circumstances, environment is a factor, as well as what the foundational value system the child have been brought up, plus education. Because whatever you may speak, there are several subtleness that that different families bring in. So some of the families, they overlook certain subtle factors. Some of them, they give importance to subtle factors. Some of them, they overdo it. So just to become self-guilty, saying that I was not a right parent, I didn't give the right knowledge, is not required. At the same time, you be very conscious to see that if I have facilitated the growth very well. In fact, if you see, history says several Vaishnava Acharyas couldn't inspire their own children. Advaitacharya had 8 sons or something like that. Not all of them could become devotees. Our dearest Prabhupada's family couldn't take up Krishna consciousness from him. Ramanujacharya's wife couldn't take up Krishna consciousness. I'm not saying this to solace ourselves, saying that even if our children are not Krishna consciousness, if our spouse and family members are not Krishna consciousness, it is okay. All I'm saying is, we should religiously and sincerely give our try. That's why I said, devotional skills as well as devotional values. Only devotional skills are not good enough. When I say devotional skills, it is about singing, reciting the prayers, or playing the mridanga or harmonium. Good, very nice, important, but integrated values about humility, tolerance, respect, cleanliness, patience, simplicity, so many such values, not in just the theoretical, it has to be demonstrated and lived. So if somebody does that is why even from early childhood days onwards, there are several stages by which these knowledge can be imparted. In Krishna consciousness, Vedic Gurukula system, they have a methodology, and they call it as their own philosophy of education. So depends upon what philosophy of education a parent adopt, accordingly the outcome will be there. And by and large, more than 50%, I would say, of ISKCON parents are not able to attract their children into Krishna consciousness, and by and large is because of a hypocrisy built into their own lifestyle. The child, when they see their own parent having double standards, so that affects the child. The child, when they see double standards in the society, it affects the child. So it is various factors. So it starts with the prayer. That is why Garbhadhana Samskara means prayer. The conception starts with the prayer. And upbringing is done with the different samskaras, which is again a prayer. end, values and knowledge and skills are imparted, which is definitely a weapon for them to fight. And role modeling by the adult is explaining the framework, the system in which the child can operate. And finally, the experience that he will gain from the society or the area that we expose him to will make him stronger. With all this combined, the child becomes successful. Depends upon where a child gets extended association will also influence. So it is not one singular point I would focus. It's not about your own devotion alone. In that case, what is speak of Prabhupada? What is speak of Advaita Acharya? So it's very it's an open subject. It's not no one single thing can be pointed as a reason for a failure or a success.
Prabhuji, and one more thing, that in abroad we all are working. When they are studying, that time also Friday, Saturday, Sunday, working with me only, same field. So maybe they said that your Krishna is given so much hard time, so I don't want to love your Krishna. So the maybe see the in a 10th grade that time. So child is that, so I see.
Sure, I mean, so basically the whole world will give so many comments about so many things, and those are giving comments, they are part of your life for some time, but you are part of your child's life or you are part of your life all the time. So we need to take, we need to learn to differentiate between critics and feedback. Feedbacks to be taken and criticism needs to be handled. As you know, Sukhasagari Mataji is writing in the comment, agreed, it is not so easy when it comes to children. No one solution. Absolutely. That's exactly what I was saying. Every child cannot be put in the same box. So it's important. Whilst it is difficult, it is important to closely monitor them and facilitate them. That is why parenting is more of help them learn rather than teach. You have to teach them for some time. After that, you have to help them learn. Help them. Prabhupada had this art. The reason Prabhupada is unique, special, is not just because of him presenting the Siddhanta. Srila Prabhupada is unique Acharya is because he knew how to engage every individual soul that has come to him according to his or her psychophysical nature. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated them. He did not have a singular formula. Certain framework he had applied very nicely, but he had definitely given a specific direction for specific people, and each and every one of them who have taken that path, they have shined and they have now set the path for us to perform. So, I mean, it is difficult, but it's extremely important to give attention to the details, which Srila Prabhupada did. He made Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj not to give up his education when he wanted. He made George Harrison continue singing, not to give up his singing. He made Giriraj Maharaj to stay with them, not to go back to his house. So, I mean, he didn't force him, but at least he said that, you know, let him decide or whatever that is. The scenario is, he made sure each and every one of us are very well engaged. That's the goal. Not that everybody has to become Pujari, everybody has to become Radhika Raman Prabhu, everybody has to become Gopal Hari. That's not the goal. Unfortunately, I'm using their names because they are role models for several younger generation. But unfortunately, you cannot just do an apple-to-apple, you know, comparison like that. So they are, we can definitely take inspiration from them, but if you stuff them up, so then probably it will go into a, you know, very wrong direction. So, okay?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. When more and more difficulties came in our life, then only we become a sincere in bhakti, Prabhuji. That much I learn a lesson. And whatever we are doing, our kids are following us. So we have to become more sincere.
In fact, one of the easiest ways is those of us who had got a very cultured upbringing. You can use, actually you can, you know, reflect how you have been taken care. Because we also had through tantrums, we also had our own portions. The only change is when we were growing, distractions were different. Now the kind of distractions are different. So we need to keep on learning as the society, because it is like this, Mataji. My understanding is all the new technology threats are like demons. When new demons come, we have to have new strategy to attack. Krishna never had a singular strategy to attack a demon. Every demon Krishna, I will punch on his face. No. Some demon Krishna ran away and killed him in a cave. Some demon Krishna just, one second he killed them. For some demon Krishna fought for, 18 times. So Krishna too had a different strategy. Of course, one was for his fun, but it also had a reason why, different people were dealt differently. So as we are moving forward in the society, there are different demons. These technology threats, technology is offering some benefit. Like right now, we are all connected because of technology, but technology also offers threats. Please read text 4.4.13, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada very nicely writes the purport. It is a context where Sati is accusing Daksha. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, devotees, as much as they are the source or they are the shelter for one to get delivered, if somebody offend them, the same lotus feet can actually make you fall down. So the point is, we always glorify the lotus feet of the devotees are glorious. It is definitely glorious, but it is equally capable of pulling somebody down if we are not careful enough. You read their purport, Prabhupada gives a superb purport there. So the message here is, it is extremely important for us to not have a generalized principle for upbringing. We don't have a general framework, but individualistic approach. Paramatma is dealing with us individualistically. Paramatma could have said that, okay, I will stay up there and watch all over you. No, he is sitting next to us, watching our action, giving us inspiration and trying to scream, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, and patiently walking along with us. So he is our father. So we also have to do that with our children. Sometimes the child may learn at the earlier stage. Sometimes the child may have its own experience and learn later. When the child is ready to learn later, you should still be available to teach, because it is our duty to impart Krishna consciousness somehow. So that is why Vaishnavas are called para dukkha dukhi, as well as the most magnanimous, persons. More than the demigods, Vaishnavas are glorified because they are available to help the needy at any point in time. Any other questions? Closing notes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti danvat pranam. If there is no question, can you please sing 2 minutes any bhajan by the mercy of, by the permission of all senior Vaishnava in a Bhakti Sangha's teacher? All Bhakti Sangha teachers' permission.
Okay, there's no question. I will sing a song. Today we did Nityananda Prabhu glory, so we will sing a song on Nitai. There's a song called Nitai Guna Mani Amar. So I will sing that song.
There is no question. Please go ahead.
Yes. Nitai guna mani amar. Nitai guna mani. Aniya premere vanya. Bashayuro vani. He made the Nyalayanita. I love Gauda Deshe. You be Labatha Garna. Dina Hina Basu. Dina Hina Patita Paramarnahi Bache. Brahma Radurlaba Prem Sabakar Jachu Abhada Karuna Sindhu निताय काटिया मोहान, हरे गरे भूले प्रेम आमियार बान, लोचन बोले मोरे निताय जे बाना बाजी लो, जानिया सुनिया से आत्मगति होइलो। जय निताय जय निताय जय निताय जय निताय, जय गौर निताय गौरानिताय गौर निताय जय गौरानिताय। My Lord Nityananda, the jewel of all virtues, My Lord Nityananda, the jewel of all virtues, has brought the flood of ecstatic love of God that has drowned the entire world. Bringing this overwhelming deluge of prema, where he returned to Bengal from Jagannath Puri on Lord Chaitanya's order, Nitai has inundated the assembly of devotees. The fallen non-devotees did not drown, however, but remained floating on that ecstatic ocean. Lord Nityananda freely offered this exalted prema, which is difficult for Lord Brahma to attain, even to the fallen and wretched souls who did not desire it. The ocean of mercy had formerly been sealed tight, but Nitai cut a channel in its boundary to allow the great flooding waves of nectarian prema to splash from house to house. Lochanada says, whoever has not worshipped my Nitai or taken advantage of this excellent opportunity offered by him knowingly commits suicide. Jai Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Shila Prabhu Prada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for very enlightening class. And today,
thank you,
and
so
we
much.
Are very grateful to you. Mataji, Prabhuji has.
No, I just said thank you very much to Prabhu for the question and answers and the beautiful class.
Okay. We are very grateful to you, Prabhuji, and we look forward to your association again in the near future. If and nobody has any questions, so we can end the call now. Prabhuji, by your permission. Vansha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu bhyayacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवे नमो नमः। अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृन्द की जय। नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत श्री चैतन्य भागवत की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री ग्रेस राम गिरधारी प्रभु जी की जय।
जय
कृष्ण प्रभु जी।
थैंक यू प्रभु।
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी, जन्म प्रणाम। थैंक यू सो मच।
हरे कृष्ण
प्रभु जी, जन्म। So, thank you everyone for joining the call. We'll meet again tomorrow. We'll close the call for today.
Thank you, sir.